We will have Dr. Sandoval here, right? We all are going to be blessed. So you have all canceled all your commitments for that Sabbath, for that weekend, and we will be here and be blessed with what he has to teach. Let me ask you this. How many were blessed with Dr. Tim? Wasn't that wonderful? It was beautiful. It was wonderful. I was so happy that God gave us the privilege to have him. In the same manner, we will have the blessings through Dr. Sandoval. So be here in 2 weeks. And important thing is that that Sabbath will not have a regular Sabbath school. But Dr. Sandoval will start speaking at 9:45, right, Eric? 9:45 he will start with his presentation. So you cannot think, oh, we'll just arrive for worship hour, Sabbath school. Well, no. Come early, and 9:45 you have Dr. Sandoval with one important presentation. Okay? My wife and I, we just arrived yesterday. 2 days almost, yes. I could say that at home we arrived today. It was beyond 12. We had a very short night, but we are blessed to be in Tucson, Arizona, and to see this tall cactus that we only saw, I've seen in movies. Now I was able to touch it very carefully. Touch carefully. But we feel like hugging it, right? They're so beautiful. But we have to keep our distance from them. But we were blessed tremendously with a planned giving and trust services convention from Monday, and they ended Thursday evening. And yesterday we were traveling part of the whole day. We flew from Tucson to Chicago to Newark. So we have been a lot of places lately, but it's when you travel, one thing is good, that you miss home, you miss your family, and to be here is to be in family, among family, and we are very blessed. How many of you remember my last sermon? No, not my last sermon. Few months ago, we started preaching about the ritual of the sanctuary, the tabernacle, and where we can see how God wants to communicate his love toward each one of us. We saw that the plan, the divine plan, was that humanity would walk side by side with him, would see him face to face, would touch him, would kiss him, would play with him, would dine and eat with God. But we decided to follow our own plans. We decide to rebel and to disobey. And as a consequence of that, God, with his heart crying aloud, he had to open the door of the garden and send them out. How hard, how difficult that must have been to God. I don't know if any father, any mother here ever had to open the door and say, please, leave. I can't imagine, but this is very hard. And I've heard and I've seen and I've talked to parents that they had to take that last choice in order to make their son or their daughter know that they must fulfill their responsibilities. It is very difficult. And for God, it was His son and daughter, created at His own image, and He had to open the door and ask, "You must leave." And that was for their own good. How come? For their own good? Why don't stay in the garden? They had to leave. The door was shut right behind them. And God placed two angels at the door with swords of fire, keeping the door. And that was not just to keep them afraid. If they had to use it, they would have used it. But thank God they didn't. They understood, and they kept far away. But I, in my imagination, I can place myself from outside and looking, not being able to come back home. But you know, God had already designed His plan. Men could not stay inside with Him, but there was nothing that would prevent Him from going and being without, outside with them. And God said, "Okay, you have to leave, but I will go with you. I will dwell among you." But not only that, God's design was to dwell inside them. An experience that only mothers can have. Why? Because only mothers know how it feels to have someone living inside of them. Right? Do you follow me? For 9 months, a mother knows what it is to have someone living inside of them. And God said, I will dwell among you. So the time passed, and little by little, humanity was losing their image of God in their flesh, in their minds, in their intellect, and spiritually as well. And it came to a point that it was so far away. And to show that, they became slaves of a great nation. To exemplify to each one of us, when we depart from God, the only thing that we can hope for or wait for is to become slave of sin. So God, when they were down in slavery, hopeless, where their future was dark and no light at the end of the tunnel, they couldn't see any way out of their desperation and their situation, God appeared. And He saw their struggling, their suffering, and He came compassionately and rescued them out. Brought them out of the land of Egypt. And send them into the desert. And God presented to them and say, "Moses, tell them that I will speak to them. I want to talk to my people. I want to have this relationship that I've been longing for so long. So tell them to prepare, because I will come down and I will abide among them." So Moses said, "The Lord is coming to abide with us. So let's prepare. Let's wash our clothes. Let's consecrate ourselves. Let's take away whatever is making unclean us unclean. And let's prepare to meet the Lord." And the Lord came after 3 days of consecration. God rested as close as He could, revealing His power, His majesty as much as He could in the mountain, Sinai. Dark clouds cover the mountain. Thunder, lightning, wind shook the mountain and the earth. When the people saw that, they said, "Praise God. We are so happy that you are here, Lord." Is that what they said? "Lord, we want to hear your voice. We are happy that you came down. We are happy that we can see you." Was that what they said? What did they say? "Speak not, O Lord. Speak not to us. We are afraid. We are so wicked. We are so weak. We are so sinful. Please don't speak to us. We are going to die." You see the desperation. The separation from God brings desperation. Enmity brings enmity between us and God. And when God is approaching his people, we say, "No, Lord, please don't do that. We are going to die." Speak to Moses and let Moses be your voice. At that moment, God was showing his people how undeserving they were, how sinful and miserable they were. But it was in that condition, hopeless, that God came down, that God showed grace, that God said, "I want to have a relationship with you. I want to accept you the way you are and bring you toward me." Then God gave his law, the Ten Commandments, written in tablets of stone with his own finger. With his own finger, and he gave to his people and said, "Now let's enjoy this relationship. And here is the rule. I want to dwell and abide among you." And even before God gave them the news that God would ask them to build a tabernacle where he could abide, God gave them the Ten Commandments. And what the people said, "Lord, whatever you say, we will do. Whatever you ask, we will obey. We will serve you. We will honor you. Please just don't talk to us. Talk to Moses. But whatever you tell him, he will tell us, and we will obey it." What a nice conversion. What a beautiful transformation. But the reality was not that. Not many days after that, the people forgot God, forgot their promise, forgot their commitment with God, and they went and what they built something, a calf of gold. And they start worshiping and breaking the second commandment. Actually, not only the second commandment. How many commandments they were breaking there? All of them. All of them. Can someone forget so soon of their commitment with God? I remember when I was baptized. I was 14 years old. And I remember that moment when I was just getting out of the water and I was changing and getting my dry clothes and I was talking to God, "Lord, thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this opportunity. And for now on, Lord, I won't sin no more. I will obey all your commandments. I will be obedient to my parents. I will do everything right, Lord, because you have given me this opportunity to be born again." Isn't that beautiful? But I was deceiving myself. And God so graciously allowed me to feel that, to say that, to go that way, that path, because He had something to teach me. And the same way with Israel, God allowed them, God permitted them, God didn't cause them to disobey, which is very different. But God is, in His infinite grace, allow the people to go the way of idolatry, because God had a lesson to teach them. It's when you are in your lowest part of your life, when you have come to the bottom of the well, of the pit, is where God meets you. It was after that instance when God had to come down, of course, destroy the disobedience, those who caused Israel into idolatry. It was at that moment that God said to Moses, "Tell the people to build me a sanctuary. Tell them to bring offerings. Tell them to bring wherever in their heart they want to give. Gold, silver, purple, precious stones, acacia wood, linen, wherever they desire in their hearts that they may bring, because you will build a sanctuary where I can dwell." Isn't that amazing? That we see the love of God every moment, no matter in what circumstance we're living, we always see God's grace. When God could have said, "Well, these people, they just don't understand. They will not learn. It's going to be too much stress, too much work, and at the end they will reject me." He didn't say that. He said, "Tell the people that it has come the moment that I will dwell among them." And they built the sanctuary according to the pattern that was shown to Moses. The true sanctuary in heaven. God wants to have it a replica down here on earth, to say, "It's there. I will reveal my glory. I will reveal my grace. I will reveal my plan of salvation." You see, God is always providing. God is always showing that you don't need to go the way to eternal death. You don't need to go to the way of eternal perdition, the way of unhappiness. You don't need to go to the way of eternal separation from Him. He's constantly saying, "I want to live with you. I want to be with you." But as I said, God doesn't stop there. God's truly desire was to be in His people, inside them, not only among them, but His true desire was to live inside of each one of them. It is the same God today. That's why the Apostle Paul is constantly saying, That we must take care of our bodies because it is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. Now we don't have a tabernacle. Now we don't have a temple where we need to go and in order to see Jesus or see God. Now God has come to us. Do you remember the story when Jesus met that woman at the well? And Jesus was talking to her and she was so impressed that a man and a Jew was talking to a woman in Samaritan. And she had a question in her mind. And she said, "We the Samaritans say that we must worship here in this mountain, but you the Jews say that we should worship, everybody should worship at that mountain. If you are a prophet, if you know, tell us, where should we go to worship? What is the right place to worship?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know, salvation comes from the Jews. And indeed, it's that mountain that God has chosen. But a time has come that God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. It is not anymore where you go to worship. Not on that mountain. Not on that mountain either. But it's in your heart. Even when we come together to worship in the house of prayer, we must worship in spirit and in truth. This is the temple that God wants to have now. This is the temple that God wants to build where He can dwell your heart. May God bless you, that you once more open the doors of your heart and allow Him to come in and allow Him to make a holy dwelling in it. In the sanctuary, it was not everyone that could go in, and we will study about that. Only the priests could go into the sanctuary. But they could not just go in the way they were. They had to wash themselves. They had to be clothed. They couldn't go with sandals inside. Just like Moses, when he approached God, he said, "Take the sandals off your feet. Because the ground where you're treading is a holy ground." Is God different today? Is there anything that I must do in order to approach this awesome and powerful God? We will learn through the sanctuary ritual, the ceremony. But I want to let you know, and I want to invite you to give your heart. The mother took this child to see the doctor. And the doctor was checking the boy while he was paying attention to everything the doctor did. And the doctor take the stethoscope. Is that what you call? How do you call that? Stethoscope. 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 Cup. Okay, you know what I'm talking about, right? So, and the doctor placed it in here. And the doctor took that and put it in the boy's ear and put it in his heart. And the doctor asked, "Do you know what this is?" And the boy was listening. And he said, "It's Jesus knocking. It's Jesus knocking." You see, Jesus is constantly knocking. He wants to enter. He wants to make you a tabernacle. He wants to make you a temple. It's your decision. If you will allow Him to come in and to make of your life His holy temple. Amen.